Hotel history is created for adult audiences. Content may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. You're listening to Hotel History. We take you with us through the sordid history and scandals of some of the world's most famous and infamous hotels. I'm Dieta.
And I'm Yael. Let's get started. I feel like we should start this episode off with Gossip Girl here.
At the very end, we can say, until next time, XOXO. That's how she sounds to me.
I know. No. You did a great job. She does not sound like me. This, realistically, the Gossip Girl, Kristen Bell's voice, if she was really from New York, okay, she would not sound like, you know, Gossip Girl here. She'd be like, Gossip Girl here, listen up.
Exactly.
Pay attention. This bitch, Serena, the guys are all over her, but you know what? She ain't shit. Bless got attitude. You know you're going to like her better. Real New York Gossip Girl voiceover would be that. The reason we're bringing up this is because we're talking about the Empire Hotel, which plays a pretty important role in Gossip Girl because they filmed there so much and it was like a plot point in the show.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched that far into the show.
I believe it's the character Chuck Bass who eventually owns the Empire, right, in the show?
Yeah, that sounds like it would happen in the show.
Yeah. Why wouldn't a 19-year-old own a hotel? Yeah, totally.
It's realistic. Yeah. I feel like the hotel is synonymous with Gossip Girl at this point. It has even, it offers a Gossip Girl drink. And everyone who tags the Empire Hotel is also being like, Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I think their fans are very, very loyal to the Empire.
But before Gossip Girl, it was also a well-known hotel. Like, I think we need to give its respects to the history of the hotel and not just the show, even though the show is great.
Yeah, but the show didn't come in until like 2006. Meanwhile, this hotel has had over 100 years of history.
Yeah. Going on. Yeah, it definitely sparked interest in the new generation, my generation.
For sure.
But it's been around for a while. And it's also very iconic because of the neon, like, Hotel Empire lights. You just think of, like, New York, you know?
It has this big, beautiful neon sign just shining out into the city.
And I got to go and visit the hotel. I got a tour from the marketing manager, Diego. Shout out to Diego. He also answered some questions we had about the hotel. I went one afternoon when I was in New York and he gave us a really nice tour. You weren't there.
No, I wasn't.
But I did the best to get everything I can, all the information. I took some videos and I'm going to share, like, we're going to share it soon on social media. But, he was pretty thorough. And at the end of our little tour, he gave us like a goodie bag with like an Empire Hotel tote and a notebook and I think a mug or something. Like all this stuff, which it's
I'm
like really good.
More jealous.
You should be.
I love a good tote.
I know. And it's good quality too. They did not skimp on the quality of their totes.
Well, the Empire was originally built around 1889 as a 7-story hotel, and it was named after the park across the street, which I guess was originally Empire Park, but is now Dante Park. And I saw an advertisement for it from 1902, and it was advertised as being absolutely fireproof, which I really loved because I think, you know, didn't New York have a huge fire around that time?
Oh yeah, the Great Fire. Triangle.
The
Shirt Triangle Fire. Yeah, that was like very devastating.
Yeah, and then I know, I mean, buildings back then were just fires waiting to happen most of the time. So I really love that this is like the very top safety of their advertisement. They're like, "No, this building won't burn down. You'll be fine."
Well, do you know just the Triangle Shirt Fire? I'm not saying this right at all. But that fire, like, I mean, it changed fire safety codes, I think, for the country because it was so bad. But something I remember learning about it is that they were trapped in because they would lock the doors because they were like, you can't get out. You need to work, bitches.
Awful, awful. So I think it's so interesting that on that side of the country, they're advertising that the building is fireproof. Meanwhile, on this side of the country, in California, remember the chateau was advertised as being earthquake proof.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The different natural disasters fall into the advertising.
But maybe now they should be.
Yeah, maybe now they're going to have to. They're going to have to switch it up.
I know.
Oh, dark humor. Too soon. So this original hotel also advertised that they had orchestral concerts every evening, which I'm like, oh, that's fancy to have to pay an orchestra every single night.
Wow.
I know. And of course, moderate rates. But Herbert Dupuy bought the building in 1908 and envisioned something grander. The original structure stood until 1922 when Dupuy had it demolished so that he could rebuild what we now have as the Empire in its current form, which is a 15-story building. And that opened in 1923 on December 5th.
Oh, okay. First of all, Dupuy, great last name.
Great last name. The bullies would have had a great time with that.
Yeah. That means just 2 years ago, the hotel celebrated its 100th anniversary. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. And of course, and it had its iconic red sign from the opening of this 100-year-old building. So, and also this is the sign that that shines into Kramer's apartment in an episode of Seinfeld actually was inspired by the Empire's red light.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's funny.
Which I didn't even think about. I never really thought about how long the technology of neon signage has been around, but it was patented in 1910. So that the sign has been neon since 1923.
Oh, wow. That's a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Also, if people don't know New York well, like the landscape or whatever, It's the hotel is located on 63rd Street and Broadway, and but it's right across the street from Lincoln Center.
The hotel originally had three entrances. I don't know if it still does. Yael, you can tell me. The main entrance on 63rd Street facing Empire Park, now Dante Park. The ladies' entrance on Broadway, because of course we needed our own entrance for
hookers,
second class citizen purposes, and the back entrance. I like that they call it the back entrance. That's the servants' entrance on Columbus Avenue.
It was the first hotel in New York City to have an outdoor street cafe, which is very interesting because now those are everywhere.
Very. I wonder if Dupuy was inspired by French cafes since he has a French last name.
Yeah. It's the first to have air conditioning meeting rooms. Oh, that's saying something.
Yeah.
They would put ice in the vents and use a fan to circulate the cold air.
Wow.
What a hack.
Yeah. Do they just like put a bucket underneath to keep the melted ice from?
They must have done something like that. The library located on the main floor contains over 6,000 books. Children under 12 years old weren't allowed.
They were in the factories working.
Oh, and they were dirty and they had jam hands and like no one wanted them to touch books. But also the books and the kids, they didn't want them to read.
Yeah, this was an adult space. You know, it's like hotels now that are child-free hotels. It's like, okay, our library is child-free.
I think that there's, I don't think that's a problem. I think there are some hotels that should accommodate children. And I think if they actually designed it to accommodate kids with their parents, it would be better. And some shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, like, and this is in the 1920s when I think they didn't care as much about the family experience yet. I don't think that was quite such a thing yet, especially with hotels seeming to be more for businessmen than anybody else.
Yeah. That's true. They don't deal with their children. They don't want to see them.
Exactly. Get out of here. Find the nanny.
There was a gentleman's reading room with leading newspapers of large U.S. cities, Europe, and Canada. So they kind of just collected the news from all over the world and were like, come and chill and read and smoke your cigars, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's almost like they were having a low-key gentleman's club, but they called it a reading.
It sounded, yeah. Well, women shouldn't know how to read.
No. They can read, but they read in the home.
Yeah. And let's be honest, they're reading recipes,
mm-hmm.
and poetry.
And novels.
Yeah. They should not be reading about the news and business. Their poor little women brains can't handle it.
Yeah, they don't have the mind for economy and government.
Turkish and Oriental rooms existed at the time. So I guess the theme for some of these places were Oriental.
Yeah, it seems like every hotel had some sort of exotic themed room, like the Persian room at the Plaza, the Chinese room at the Mayflower. So they had their Turkish and Oriental rooms.
But that was like sweeping the world, right? Like the, you know, in the 1920s, didn't they find all the King Tut's shit in the pyramids? And they're like, cool, I'm going to just take this.
Yes, yes. Yeah, in the 20s, Egyptian themes were huge.
There were also lounging and coffee rooms for men and women and billiard rooms, probably just for men.
I bet that one was just for men.
Yeah.
But sometimes they let the women watch in. So I wonder if they did.
Oh, that's true. They did. Yeah.
At the Stanley Hotel, they had a billiard room that was pretty much men only, but there were benches along the walls where women could sit and watch.
How they were so thoughtful.
So thoughtful, yes. And I'm pretty sure the benches, though, had like zero cushions on them. Like they weren't trying to make it comfortable for the women.
No, they didn't want them there. No. Some celebrities have stayed there over the year, which you can imagine is a lot of people. The Kardashians, Meryl Streep, apparently the whole hockey team.
Like various members of the NHL.
Of the NHL. I was going to say, I'm trying to think of the New York Rangers.
Whole hockey team.
The whole hockey team. The whole Rangers. The Rangers. I think hockey is underrated in the U.S.
Yeah, it's super fun. My brother goes to see the Dallas Stars all the time.
Yeah, I've gone to like maybe two or three hockey games in my whole life. And in terms of sports, and I don't care for sports, hockey is one of my favorite to watch. First of all, there are just no rules. It just feels like there are no rules because these people will just keep going and going until someone loses a tooth.
Yeah.
And they're so aggressive. And I just feel like it's easier to follow because you see the puck, you kind of get the gist. And I just think it's so underappreciated in the U.S. specifically.
Composer Aaron Copland, who is one of the most celebrated figures in classical music, at least American classical music, lived at the hotel from 1936 to 1947 during the height of his career. He wrote Fanfare for the Common Man and Appalachian Spring while living at the hotel. And he also founded organizations that promoted the development of American classical music while living there. And of course, that means that West Side Story composer Leonard Bernstein was going to be hanging out in the hotel the whole time he lived there because Copland was his mentor and they shared a 50-year friendship.
He didn't have an affair with him, right?
No, that's not the one he had the affair with, I don't think.
Oh, okay. So chess champion Bobby Fischer used to have chess matches there in the 50s and 60s. If anyone doesn't know what Bobby Fischer is, he's like basically the all-time best chess person in the world. He's definitely the most famous chess champion. This is the second time we're mentioning him because he used to play chess in the Catskills. Before he went crazy with his anti-Semitism.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. I wonder where else Bobby Fischer would go to play his chess matches. What other hotel? Like where, you know? It's so interesting that used to be, I feel like, okay, chess and hockey, underrated.
The Iridium Room was a jazz club that the Empire had in its basement, and it was known for the weekly performances by Les Paul held there.
Joni Mitchell wrote The Empire into a song, Raised on Robbery. What was that about? Did she get robbed? My mom's a huge, she loves Joni Mitchell. Like when I go and I look at all her old albums, records, they're all Joni Mitchell. She was like obsessed. So I'm going to ask her about that.
In the very first line of the song, it starts, "He was sitting in the lounge of the Empire Hotel. He was drinking for diversion. He was thinking for himself." Okay, so whoever this he is, he's the one who was raised on robbery.
It's so interesting. Joni Mitchell writes about that. Leonard Cohen writes about the Chelsea Hotel. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other musicians write about the Chateau Marmont. And I mean, so many hotels are mentioned in songs that have influenced our lives, like just Hotel California. We don't know which hotel is that, but it's a hotel.
Yeah, they really do have their place in pop culture and have influenced pop culture so much. In the 1920s, Helen Keller actually campaigned on the hotel's rooftop for blind children. There's a photo with a caption that says, "Miss Helen Keller started a campaign today to give radio sets to poor blind children of the city." So she actually gave this campaign at the Uptown Lions Club, which was held at the Empire Hotel. And she asked members of the Lions Club and businessmen to donate money or donate complete radio sets for the blind children. And of course, the Lions Club is a famous, you know, nonprofit that leads a lot of campaigns to help the blind.
That's really nice.
Now on top of the Empire, there is a rooftop pool and bar, right? So
yeah.
It kind of makes it sound like there was also some sort of meeting place on the rooftop back then, if she's talking to the Lions Club on top of the roof.
Oh, there definitely was. It's really nice up there. When I went, I saw the restaurant, but the pool and that area was closed off because it's not the season. So I didn't get to see inside the pool area. But it's, I can imagine, really nice New York summer day.
Yeah.
Empire Hotel pool on the roof. The view is really nice.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the scenes in Gossip Girl happened on the roof because they got like the nice footage of the sign in it as well, didn't it?
Yeah, I feel like I need to watch Gossip Girl again. So a lot of things have been filmed at this hotel, as we spoke about. Not just Gossip Girl, but Sex and the City. The movie Sex and the City, not the show, which I'm surprised.
Me too.
But the show has been filmed, I mean, all over the city.
Yeah, they had so many locations to choose from. How could they have gotten them all?
Yeah. Al Pacino's Sea of Love. Never heard of that movie. Nope. Never saw it. Law and Order SVU. Law and Order SVU has filmed in every single location in New York.
Yeah. Well, I think the favorite place for all shows like that, for things to go down, is hotels.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that and like alleyways.
Yeah.
When I think of Law and Order SVU, I think of like garbage and
That's
alleyways.
True.
It was also featured on Sesame Street in the 1970s, when the 1970s was a wild time.
And oh, you my can God. Just yes.
Mention a hotel.
I want to go. I want to watch that. I want to watch the episodes of Sesame Street. I bet that was really cute.
1970 Sesame Street.
The fact that
funny
a children's show was set on a street in New York in the 70s, I've never really put that together before. But yeah, New York was a wild place in the 70s. That's not an appropriate place for a children's show to be set.
No.
The 70s were raw.
The 70s were. I think the 70s Sesame Street was just like, let's see what happens. And then it like lasted forever. And I mean, I still love Sesame Street. I think Sesame Street is like one of the best children's TV shows ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The main show that the Empire is known for is Gossip Girl. And it was used to film so many scenes there. And I think they stayed in the hotel while filming at some point.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And a lot of people come just to visit the hotel because of Gossip Girl. It got a new fan base because of the show. And I think a lot of TV shows do that for certain locations. And you'll kind of see people have different reactions to it. They either don't like it or do like it. But associations with the TV shows is a great marketing tactic for the hotels. They could get new interests with different generations. Like, it's, you know, which they need, because a lot of these historical hotels, their wealthier, older clientele are getting older.
Yeah.
The younger ones.
Exactly. They fall out of fashion because newer, brighter, younger hotels pop up.
Yeah. And the Gossip Girl aspect of the Empire Hotel is still going strong. And it's one of the things they share the most on their social media. But what's interesting is that you can go to the bar and get a Gossip Girl cocktail drink.
Ooh.
I tried it.
How was it?
I got a mocktail because it was during the day and I wasn't feeling great. So I'm like, I don't really want to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
It would have been so much better with alcohol. It's not my favorite. It's very pink, very Gossip Girl-y.
Oh, sounds really pretty.
It's super pretty. I have pictures and I'm going to share. And it's really...
What would the alcohol have been?
Probably vodka, I think. And I like vodka, but it would have been perfect with alcohol. Like, honestly, big mistake was to get a mocktail. But if you don't drink, I get it. Like, but it's really cute. And they put like a little powdery Gossip Girl on top. But I just want to talk about Gossip Girl for a second. As a New Yorker, Gossip Girl premiered when I was 16 or 17 years old, something like that. And so it was peak my generation. And at the time, I was interning for a fashion, independent fashion blog called Fashion Indie that no longer exists. I think it's something else now. It's one of the most crazy experiences I've ever had. It was so much fun. And what they did was they wanted to have a Gossip Girl viewing party. And so me and my friend got to go to this like viewing party. I wonder if it was, I don't remember where it was. I think it was at some hotel or some bar. 21. I don't even know how we got in, to be honest.
Well, I mean, how did the Gossip Girl people get into their bars? They were drinking when they're like 17 years old in the scene.
There was a time I was using my older sister's ID, but I think at this age, I didn't use anything. They just like let us in. I also have tested this theory when I was in high school. Like, you go in with enough confidence and people are like, okay, sure. Which I don't understand because I looked like a child. But I don't think we drank. I don't even know what happened, but it was so fun. And we got to like watch the premiere of Gossip Girl with like this like internship thing. And it was wild. But after that, it exploded and they filmed everywhere. And I was like, I would always pass wherever they were filming because I would do a lot of internships in the city and all that stuff. So I'd always pass them. And then one day I was like, you know what? I want to go actually meet the cast and try to find out where they're filming. So I left school early, or I like ditched school that day. I don't even remember. I think I just like ditched the last two classes I had, went and by myself, because no one wanted to come with me, because they're lame. And I took the train. I went to this like random place in Brooklyn they were filming, and I ended up meeting like almost the whole cast of Gossip Girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I met the mom, Blake Lively, Penn Badgley. He was moody.
He
was not so friendly. He's probably really friendly now. You never know, because Blake Lively was really sweet.
Mm. Mm.
And Penn Badgley seemed a little bit like, but I feel like you have no idea what day you're coming.
And, yeah.
Another thing is that these people lived in Manhattan and they partied in Manhattan. So as I was getting older and actually going and hanging out in the bar scene, my friends and I, like, we would bump into these actors. I had friends that would actually, I think, bumped into Ed Westwood, the guy who plays
Chuck Bass. Yeah.
Chuck Bass. And they, like, I don't know, were talking to him or something. Like, you would see these people out I never got to meet Chase Crawford, who I had the biggest crush on. Every time I had the opportunity to see where they were filming, he was never there. But there was a time they were filming in Brooklyn College when like all the girls in my high school were starting Brooklyn College. And so all my friends got to meet all of them, including Chase Crawford. And all my friends have like photos with them and with him specifically. And I was so jealous.
Oh, man. You tried so hard.
I tried so hard. And then one time when I worked at a restaurant, this is the only interaction I've ever had with him. I worked at a restaurant as a hostess. He came in like incognito to pick up pizza. And I was like, oh my God, that's him. But I can't talk to him because he obviously is like incognito. And who the hell am I to talk to this person? And I was as close as I got to this man.
Oh, at least you were respectful.
I generally am always respectful because I don't know what to say to them. Yeah. I have to have an excuse. One time I got to meet Sarah Michelle Gellar on TRL because that was also... New York is just fun as a teenager. I won't lie. We also ditched school to go on TRL. And she was there and I waved her down. She's like, hi. And she's ready to have a conversation with me. And I'm like, hi. And I just turned away. I had no idea what to say to this. I'm like, I don't know what to say to you. Good job. Like, so I decided after that, I'm never going to talk to celebrities again unless I have a reason to talk to them.
So when you were there with Diego, who was giving you the tour, what were some of the things that he liked the most about the hotel?
So he told me that his favorite area was the lobby. That the architectural design of the stairs that lead to the mezzanine is really beautiful. And like he really like you can tell Diego really has such an appreciation and love for the hotel. And when he was showing us, he was, you know, telling us all his favorite like spots in the hotel. And I just to describe the lobby, it does have a mezzanine and there's a lot of seating areas. And also on the mezzanine, they used to have a restaurant there that they are redoing and it's going to be a different restaurant, but this restaurant is going to like be basically the whole entire second floor, or like the mezzanine level. And we got to speak to, I don't know if it was the restaurant guy or someone else in the hotel or the construction guy, but they were telling us about it. We got to go in and like see the construction that's going on. It's going to be crazy and it sounds amazing and definitely want to go back there and try the restaurant when it opens. But the hotel is beautiful. I have to say the roof of the Empire Hotel is amazing. Like that is, there's a reason why everyone goes there. It's so pretty. You could see the whole city really clearly.
Man, next time, it's one of these times when I get to go to New York.
When we go back, yeah, I want to try the restaurant. I would say the best time to go is the summer. And Diego agrees. He was like, yeah, the summer, you really get to experience the outdoor, the rooftop, and the sunset. And it's just like summer in New York is really nice. It can be hot and humid, sure, but there's also like, I feel that New York summers feel like you can do anything. It gives you this sense of freedom. I don't know how to explain it more than LA.
The world is at your feet.
The world is at, like anything can happen. Like you're walking the city streets and at summer and at night, especially, like you never want to go home and like want it to end. It's like the whole world is open to you and you can just feel it, like the energy shift in the city. And there's so many things to do. New York in the summer has a lot of things to do. New York is so fun in the summer. And I feel like the Empire Hotel kind of taps into that. And so I agree with him. Summer, best time of the year.
The other question that we asked Diego was if he thought the Empire Hotel was haunted. He said he thinks it's haunted by Bart Bass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's haunted by a fictional character. It's the best kind of haunting. I want to say thank you to Diego for giving me a tour and answering all our questions and just being open to us.
Thanks for listening to Hotel History. You can follow us on most social media platforms, Patreon, and Substack by searching for Hotel History or Hotel History Podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so we can reach more listeners.